leading off for the Perkins and Spiegel Show number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
Oh, you know it. And all of your Chicago Cubbies imagine hearing Nico Horner, Ule Hendrix, Michael Tauchmann. That's so fun.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it's funny. Good segment.
Taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse all season long.
It's a beautiful day.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? A very big congratulations on the Gold Glove you've won with the National League, mate. Keep rocking it, mate. You're a rock star in your own world there, and you're spreading lots of love.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Lou LeBorg, fake Bono,
Serbian Bono.
We really appreciate a man of Nico Horner's status dealing with us idiots weekly throughout the baseball season. He's in his hotel room in Texas ahead of opening day. He's on Twitch and YouTube on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. What's up, Nico?
Hi, guys. Yeah, those were some fun little memories, a little urine recap, it felt like.
Yeah, ready to do it all again, man. And we actually have something special to play for you before the end of this conversation. So that's a tease. Just get ready. But
can't wait.
You feeling ready? How you feeling ahead of this opening day compared to the other ones that you've been a part of?
First one on the road for me personally, so that's a little different. It's kind of cool though, because it kind of feels like we get like two opening days in some ways, because there's the road one, which is obviously significant, and then playing at Wrigley for the first time, obviously incredibly exciting. So kind of nice to have two of those experiences. But as far as what it feels like compared to previous years, I think just the group itself feels a lot more tight-knit and together than the last several years. We have feel like a better sense of identity and things going into a season, and I'm not going to sit here and make predictions based on that, but it feels really good and I'm excited about it.
We'll go ahead and make predictions. I guess we haven't been on the record on it, but I think you guys are going to win that division, man. I mean, it just feels right. And I got to say, I've never been more curious to watch a manager's effect on a ball club or organization. You know what I mean? Are you curious about that part of it too with Craig?
Yeah. I mean, I think for the tone that he set in camp was great. I think, everything was very smooth and people are getting along well, but obviously the season is the real test, both, you know, for everybody, players, managers, you guys. but it's,
that's the one that matters most, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, we're excited, and I'm interested to see how he uses the team for sure. I mean, especially our bullpen is incredibly deep, and I think have a real chance for that to be a big strength of ours. And I know he's had a lot of success with that in the past.
I didn't see you when I was out there, man. I looked for you in the clubhouse, but Nico was, you know, you must have been hard at work.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. but it did. Two dudes talked football in my face for like 10 minutes.
Yes.
Do you know who they? Can you guess who they were? Who were the players who looked at me and said, "Spiegs, when you said this about Greg Roman, I wanted to punch my radio." Who was that?
Talkman would be one of them.
Nailed it.
He feels like he's probably the biggest Bears fan, I think, on the team.
Yeah,
definitely the most locked in that area. Dansby's got a lot of football opinions.
Nailed it.
Right. You're right.
Ding and like, so that's your guy, your middle infield mate Dansby. And there was one moment where like Dansby turned to Talkman and said, "Hey, remember what I said the other day?" And Talkman said, "No, I don't remember actually." And Dansby was like really hurt, like clearly. So they've got a thing, man. They must talk football all the time. Do you join them at that?
I'm pretty far out on the football conversations, to be honest. I played in the fantasy league and all that and kept up, but those guys are living and dying by it, which I can't quite relate to.
Man, that's crazy. Well, I saw Council out there with his glove on teaching some infield technique. I think it was Chase Strumpf he was working with out in the little half field out there. But like, So, I mean, that's a very accomplished major league infielder who likes to teach drills. Did you deal directly with Craig? Did you guys talk second base technique and stuff?
No, I actually haven't. I think one thing that's actually really cool about how he handled the spring is he did a great job of setting a tone and expectations, but then he really, really trusts his staff a lot. And I think was pretty intentional about, you know, letting guys really run their own areas and staying pretty hands-off. Obviously he loves to talk the game and things like that, but that was, I thought was really impressive, was just his ability to trust people that honestly he was still building relationships and things like that, but that goes a long way. So that was cool to see.
So when he sets expectations, what does that look like or sound like?
Yeah, it's not, they're a lot more, you know, process based, but a lot of it is challenging us as a group to be unite in a lot of ways and to take care of teammates and to check in on teammates and just kind of having that be a standard. And obviously you can't exactly tell a team exact what to, how to act or what to do to get along or, you know, set up dinners for guys or things like that, you know, but it's just that expectation of the group being social and relying on each other and knowing that, you know, those are the kind of people that get you through challenging things throughout a season and really make a difference.
Did you take part in the Q&A thing that he apparently did in the clubhouse?
Oh yeah, those were great. They went so well. I never got called up there. I guess wasn't interesting. Well, they would kind of choose like a veteran and a young guy each day, and maybe I didn't like fit the mold for either one. I don't know, but
yeah, I didn't get a lot of the details in what had come out in the piece on the Athletics. Like, can you what give us a for instance? What was it like?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they talked about either. I didn't see that article or anything, but it was just a nice, very open floor for just to get to know a person. And some of them were more serious and some were really lighthearted. And even guys, it's just cool because even guys you've played with for a really long time, there's still things that, you know, we skip over or miss or forget. And just nice to know the background and some of the why behind how guys get to this place in the, at all. It's so cool.
Yeah.
We should do that with you sometime. I mean, we ask you questions all the time, but we're available for questions. If you ever have any for us, we should turn the tables at some point during these interviews, Nico.
Yeah. I mean, you guys might know me better than some of my teammates. You got 20 straight minutes. I don't really have to do that at the field too often.
Yeah. We probably do at this point. Yeah. And we're only going to get to know you better. The questions are going to be more prying. Uh-huh. It's going to be deeper. It's going to be good investigative journalism, but we talked a little bit at Cubs convention. You obviously are coming off this, you know, this career year, this excellent season, but you're always working on things. What did you work on? And do you feel like it was successful in the spring? Where do you feel like you're at individually?
I mean, at the heart of it all is being able to be available as much as you can and trusting that, you know, there's going to be different versions of ourselves that show up every year, but I trust that if I'm out there for, you know, close to a full season, then I'm going to produce at a pretty high level. And so just feel really good about where I'm at physically. As far as my game itself, it's kind of funny because sometimes, and obviously such a big part of my game is on the bases and playing defense. And when you can kind of go like several games in a row without like getting a play, and then where, you know, you're not really stealing as many bags in spring or like pushing it on the bases. So there's some games, especially when I wasn't hitting well and kind of felt like I was just doing cardio on and off the field for a while. Wasn't impacting too much, but I didn't get great results in spring as a hitter, as far as performance goes. Oops, sorry. But I'm really excited about the relationships I have with the hitting coaches and the staff there. I think it's valuable in spring to go through challenging times, just like always, and kind of learning what those relationships are like and different helpful things to get through things that are hard. So feeling good.
Yeah, it was going to ask about the numbers, the spring numbers, which are low, but you kind of talked about it right there. So, but you said with the hitting coaches, John Maley's back. Did you work with John last time he was here, or was he already gone by the time he got here?
Yeah, I didn't get Mills in his first stint with the Cubs. He was with us in AAA last year, so I got to know him some just in spring training, and he was around the team some. But yeah, this is kind of our first extended stretch together, and nice to talk through things in the spring and some of the off season. But I think his impact for the group is really going to be during the season, and a lot of experience in prepping on the approach side and team approach and talking about pitchers. And I feel really good about where we're at and some of the language that we're using on that. And it takes time, so it's valuable to start to get to know some of those words and relationships and in spring training, and I'm excited to see that play out during the year for sure.
So we're talking to Nico Horner here, Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. We going over or under 43 stolen bases last year's total?
I don't know. I mean, the first like 2 weeks, I feel like had a pretty significant chunk of those last year, to where I think there was some adjustments going on in the league to some of the rules. So we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Hopefully they're significant bases, helping win games.
There you go.
Well, I was going crazy for a little bit.
Yeah, you were.
We'll see.
But that's interesting, because it makes me wonder about the mindset of the team and of the manager, and whether, like, will you have the same kind of green light, you think?
I think we're in a good spot to steal bags, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I was reading about it, Nico, like, league-wide, it was an 80% success rate, man. It's
really? Wow.
It's crazy. So, and now that that data is out there, a lot of teams are going to get more aggressive. Supposedly, like, surprise, surprise, the Tampa Bay Rays have an unbelievably fast roster. They've allotted a whole bunch of resources to studying pickoff moves and stuff like that. And they're going to try to break a stolen base record, or, you know, get to 200 or 250 this year. So I wondered if that stuff had come up in camp at all, like league-wide stolen bases might actually climb, even though they climbed last year too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anytime in our game something is having success, like, people are going to double down on it until something stops it, right? And, you know, the rules obviously favor it. And there's a lot of athleticism in the game. I feel like it just hasn't been really emphasized for a while. So now that it is, I think you'll see no reason you won't see even more this year. But I think some pitchers will get better with how they handle the runners after a year of going through it, and teams will adjust in that way. But yeah, I mean, I think we're ready to take some bags for sure. We don't have that many burners, but we got a good amount of good athletes, I feel like, that can do it situationally.
Hey, Danny, when you were asking about 43 steals over under, were you thinking about our bets that we made as a show?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
What do we have? I had Nico. I've got you with more stolen.
Are you guys allowed to bet on baseball?
You think I'm watching 150 regular season baseball games without betting on it?
I feel like you're too closely related in some way to be like be legally allowed.
No.
Yet I don't win.
Never mind.
We use
I don't win.
We use our
I figured, but
we use our interpreter. We use our interpreter. That's just easier. You know what
okay.
I mean?
You walked into it.
Hey, you set us up, man. You know?
Speaks was going to make it uncomfortable.
That's a layup.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for understanding.
Yeah. No, I'm going to try to win this year, though. All right. I'm going to try to win.
No, but these are just like show bets. We just check them out during the course of the year. So mine was, I think you're going to have more stolen bases than the top two White Sox stolen base leaders combined. Because Luis Robert had 17. Nicky Lopez is like projected for 10.
He's fast.
He is? You know Nicky? Do you know Nicky Lopez?
I got no gambling insight for you.
Okay. No, we're not asking you for gambling.
No, we're not.
We
worried.
Would never do that to you.
Yeah.
Hap was on earlier today. He's obviously, you know, been told that he's going to be the leadoff hitter for the opener against righties. Do you think you'll get a shot at it against lefties?
I don't know. But I'll be ready for whatever it is. I think, lineup construction is obviously something that gets a lot of attention, especially in spring training, like when everyone's trying to do the optimal everything, and then things just kind of happen throughout the year and come and go and flow. But I do think we have like some good hard decisions within our lineup, just because there is a lot of depth, and I think you could roll the lineup around in a lot of directions and have success, which is obviously a good thing. You know, I think there's advantages to pretty much every part of the lineup, but not a whole lot changes individually. So, yeah.
How would you be all right with bouncing around the lineup a little more than than you did last year? Because I think he's going to be looking at matchups like very specifically, and you might mm-hmm. you might have to have some flexibility, right?
Yeah, totally. I think in 22, I was in a good variety of spots that year. I think I started the year around ninth. I probably hit mainly fifth, but there was some other variations that it really doesn't matter too much. Beyond leadoff does feel different sometimes, just with that the first at bat, you can kind of like feel a little different just starting the game. But other than that, I think it ends up rolling pretty similarly.
You know, Ian was talking about leadoff today on the show and was saying that it's a matter of, for him, just doing what he does best in terms of every at-bat, having his normal at-bat. So keep being me, you know? And yeah, he's a guy.
He's so impressive.
Right.
Because, he's a guy that it'll be like a 15-2 game, winning or losing, and, like, you can't really tell by how he's carrying himself or like the intent behind the swings and the takes, like if it's any different than like big situations. And like, that's just so admirable and something you don't really get a feel for unless you play with a guy. And like, his consistency mentally is pretty incredible. So definitely have a lot of confidence in him to do what he's actually saying. Cause most people don't do what they say.
All right. In life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good life lesson.
Yeah. I mean, it's just easy to say that you're not going to like change or like do different things. And like, the game is challenging and brings up clutter that gets in the way of being yourself. And he's really good at sticking to that.
Hmm. All right. So you're a pretty level-headed, even-keeled guy. I'm sure you get a little amped up for opening day and Wrigley and all of that. But baseball, it's a grind. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Most people don't, you know, treat it like a football game or an Avengers movie or something like that. But we wanted to play this for you because – apparently, you know, our boss, we're the home of the Cubs here on the radio, and everyone's very excited about Cubs baseball. And apparently the normal promos were not cutting it. They'd have, like, you know, me or Speaks be like, you know, Cubs baseball on the score.
Hey.
You know, we would do our little promo things. And so they commissioned a guy who literally does these trailers for Hollywood movies. This is 100% true. So this is the promo that is airing on the home of Cubs baseball, commissioned by us with a Hollywood movie production company to get everybody excited for your upcoming season.
The 2024 Chicago Cubs, a promising new season with lofty expectations, begins Thursday in Texas, including a Gold Glove dynamic duo of Nico Horner.
Diving backhand stump by Horner, throws to first to get him.
And Dansby Swanson.
Bareheading it to Swanson, and he throws him out at first.
Plus, comeback player of the year, Cody Bellinger.
Get out the tape measure, long gone.
And the Man of Steel, your opening day starting pitcher, Justin Steele.
Swing and a miss, strike three, Justin Steele.
And now, a new leader in the dugout, Craig Counsell.
I'm a fresh set of eyes for them. You can be a big help being a fresh set of eyes.
A new season begins Thursday, and you have to hear it right here on your home of the Cubs, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and in Chicagoland, live on the free Odyssey app.
Your thoughts?
Boom.
Ready to run through a wall?
Right?
We're ready to play.
Nico, that guy's nickname, the voice guy's nickname, is Thunderballs. True story.
That makes sense. That's exactly what I would classify that voice as.
A Gold Glove dynamic duo of Nico Horner.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. We'll send that to you, man. You can use that as a ringtone if you want.
I love that. I'm locked in.
All right, man. Hey, we appreciate you being on the show again this year. Tuesdays again, right, Shane? Is it going to be the normal thing? All right.
Tuesdays, 2:30.
Tuesdays at 2:30.
Nico Horner, rated R.
Sometimes, I would assume.
Sometimes rated R. We'll try to run into you before opening day at Wrigley, man. Go get him in Texas. Thank you, sir.
All right, perfect. Talk soon.
All right. There he is.
That's Nico Horner.
Nico Horner. With Parkinson's Beagle.
Rated R.
Rated R.
Sometimes.
What a stupid business. What a stupid business.
Man, he's good.
Yeah, he is. At baseball and putting up with us. We'll put a ball on this thing. Parkinson's Beagle on the score.